May the blessing of clarity of mind come upon you all, dear heart dwellers, that your mission will become clear to you. Well, tonight the Lord has given me a key to finding your mission. It certainly helped me get a handle on how to help those of you who haven't been able to connect with God to have a mission. So I'm excited that this message will be a relief to hear. Please listen to the end, because that's where he imparts the wisdom to begin your search. After a short instruction on a personal topic, Jesus began, "Going on to the channel, some have taken my words to heart. Some are still dragging their feet, hoping the rapture will deliver them from the responsibility of applying themselves to help with the harvest of souls. My very little ones, why do you persist in your unbelief? Will you tell me, please? Why do you refuse to believe? Do you not know you are tying my hands in your lives? I don't care how despicable others have looked at you as being. I have seen your heart of pure love for me, and I intend to raise you up. But I can do nothing if you stay stubbornly in unbelief. Who are you going to believe in this hour? Me or people who have pigeonholed you for years? Do you want to move beyond this pit of condemnation that has kept you from hoping for anything beyond a mediocre life? Do you know that those who serve me are not fit for the job, but their hearts are for me, so I delight in equipping them beyond their wildest dreams? Claire is an excellent example. For so many reasons I could never cover, she was unfit for this job. In the meantime, those who were popular and fit as a fiddle were clamoring at the gates of heaven for her job. Do you know why I denied them? Because they saw themselves as competent and well-placed for such a job. Do you know Heidi Baker was another one who assumed her education would bring her success as a missionary? I had to break her and level her to the ground before I could use her, quite literally. Yeah, I remember that. They couldn't pick her up off the ground. The move of God was so strong at the airport in Canada. Then she woke up to the fact that she could do nothing and her degrees were useless. The part of her that was useful was her pure heart and on fire love for me. I brought her down all the way to rock bottom, laboring for a decade in Africa with nothing remarkable to show. Then once she realized she was not and never would be qualified for a move of God, then she was a good candidate. Until that time, she sweltered in mediocrity. So don't look at her degrees. Look at her heart. Now, I hope you understand what I am saying. No one is qualified for any job of mine unless they come to me with nothing to offer but their hearts and their lives laid down at my feet. Can you do that? Can you lay your life down at my feet? All right, let's say you are cowardly and can't. Would you like to be that brave? I can make you that brave. All you have to pray is, Lord, make me willing to be made willing for whatever you ask of me. That's the prayer for cowards. Do you know how many cowards serve me? Millions. Yes, millions. Many of them are obscure and unknown Christians, yet they love me with all their hearts and have given me their lives because they were in love with me. I gave them the brave heart they needed. Then we proceeded to giftings for them to accomplish their work according to how I fashioned them at conception. Then I opened doors and protected them in their callings. What about you? Can you give me your cowardice? your fears of failure, your word curses that have labeled you as a failure all your life? Can you relinquish these things and allow me to fashion you into a vessel fit for the King's table? How about it? Are you going to lay down your life and your failures at my feet? Or are you going to stubbornly cling to that self-image fashioned by Satan's servants? I will reveal something to you now so you will not be caught unaware at the judgment seat. Some of you are lazy. You cover that up with what people have said about you. But the bottom line is that you're lazy and don't want to put forth the tremendous effort it takes to succeed. So you've become a Christian couch potato. I can see through the facades and defeatist attitudes, right to the core of your will, and some of you are truly lazy. You know, and when he said that, I thought, gosh, there are a lot of scriptures about that. And I Googled it, and I ended up taking this from gotquestions.org. Just little snippets here and there. Proverbs tells us that a lazy person hates work. The sluggard's craving will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. That's Proverbs 21. He loves to sleep. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. Proverbs 26. He gives excuses. The sluggard says, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. It's my personal favorite. I love that one. He wastes time and energy. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great waster. Well, we know who the great waster is, the one that came to kill, steal, and destroy. So we don't want to be a brother to him. It continues, he believes he is wise, but is a fool. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly. Proverbs 26. A lazy person becomes a servant or a debtor. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. His future is bleak. A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time, he looks but finds nothing. He may come to poverty. That's Proverbs 20. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. That's Proverbs 13. A new believer is truthfully taught that it's by grace that you've been saved, through faith. And this not for yourselves, it's the gift of God, but not by works, so that no one can boast. That's Ephesians 2. But a believer can become idle if he erroneously believes God expects no fruit from a transformed life. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2. Christians are not saved by works, but they do show their faith by their works. James 2:18. And slothfulness violates God's purpose, that we would do good works. And it's said about Jesus, he went around doing good works, doing good to all. The Lord, however, empowers Christians to overcome the flesh's propensity to laziness by giving us a new nature. 2 Corinthians 5. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. 1 Timothy 5. And for others in the family of God, you yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's Acts 20. And whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Jesus that you're serving. Colossians 3. These were just a few things about laziness and work that I felt he wanted me to share with you. Jesus continued, "There's no excuse for laziness. If you have a physical impediment, come to me and ask me how to work with it. Claire has many, but I have shown her how to cope and made medicine available to her. No, prescription medications are not witchcraft. They're a tool in the hands of a competent physician who is called to empower bodies to live a better life, many times enabling them even to serve me. Others I heal without medication. Much depends on humility and their tendency to pride as to how I will help them. That's entirely different than recreational drugs, which are harmful to the soul and the body and do lead to witchcraft and a way to escape from the realities of life, which are painful, but must in the long run be overcome with my help."